coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites to access this program, HagmanReportLive.com, that's HagmanReportLive.com, as well as HagmanReport.com. Two different websites. Hagman Report Live for the video and audio shows. HagmanReport.com for the print. And I'm not seeing a preview. Just saying. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Hello, Eric the Tech. There we go. Or not. Anyway, folks, welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report. We got a good show lined up for you today. Tom Horn is going to be joining us along with Steve Quayle. There we go. Wow, what a difference that makes. If you could see what I see from here, you'd know what I'm talking about, but I'm glad you're with me, folks. And thank you so much for your generous support of this program. Without your support, we couldn't do what we do. And I'm telling you right now, it's so important right now that, and I'm asking you to support this program, because without your support, we're off the air. We're off, satellite radio. We're off the internet. We're off everywhere. And that's the way it is right now. It's that way. I mean, we've got to depend on you. And, you know, together, we're in this, you and all of us are in this together. So, we're looking at some pretty precarious times in which we live and we find ourselves right now. We're under 50 days from the 2020 general election. You've got George Soros, one man, by the way, with many foundations pouring money into different races all across the United States, including local races, including district attorney races. If you didn't see what happened yesterday with Fox, you got to catch that. What does that have to do with the program today? Today, with Tom Horn and Steve Quayle. Tom Horn, of course, is the author of many, many books. This one, including Antichrist and the Final Solution. If you haven't seen this, or if you haven't picked this up, you've got to get a hold of this at Skywatch. And all the links to this will be in, or are in, the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. Two N's on Hagman. HagmanReportLive.com. Click on the link. It'll take you directly to this book. Also with me is Steve Quayle from SteveQuayle.com and QFiles.tv. Folks, if you have not subscribed to QFiles.tv to get Steve's private informational briefings, oh my goodness, you've got to do it. There it is on your screen, Exploring the Universe with QFiles. The original Q, actually, folks. Those are my words. Don't take that out of context. Steve Quayle from SteveQuayle.com. Steve, come on in. Welcome, sir, and thanks for being here with me on this Thursday.
Well, Doug, what an appropriate time, because as you saw, even Fox clutched with Harris Faulkner on the mention of Soros funding all of the shenanigans going across the revolutions, the communist overthrow, all of the attacks on President Trump. You have to ask yourself the question, why has the press absolutely chosen not to touch this with a 10-foot pole? And you can only come to one conclusion, that all of the press is already in the hands of the evil ones, the mainstream murderers, I call them mainstream media, and the last vestiges of truth, whether they come out of good night, Tucker Carlson or Laura Ingraham or any of the still pro-conservative, or at least in name only, we're seeing the total end of the free press as we knew it. We're seeing the deplatforming of every platform that you have, Doug, like I have, like we've had. Tom and I have talked, discussed, you know, through emails and in person when we get together, that, you know, we know the days are numbered. And that brings us to today's program. I don't believe this program should have happened at any time prior to this day, nor after this day. This is the appointed day to understand the Antichrist, the system that's going to bring him on, the persecution on the church, and everything else. So I'm excited. And by the way, Tom's one of our keynote speakers, literally, and my opinion. Now, look, obviously, I'm a great friends with Tom. In my opinion, he is one of the finest speakers I've ever heard and one of the most knowledgeable men. I would absolutely tell people, you need to get the video on demand, Final Warning, Brace for Impact, because today's show is going to talk about just the lateness of the hour. It's not like Tom hasn't been warning in the voluminous books he's printed, written, published. Everything points to this time, Doug. And that's why, again, on behalf of everyone that gets the benefit of anything I've ever done, that Tom's ever done through your platform, we just want to thank you with all of our hearts. So I want to bring Tom on because I got to tell you something. It's a treat. I told Tom, I said, you know, Tom, if it weren't for the times that you and I and Doug get to go and do talk radio together, I think I would just basically super glue my lips shut and that would be say amen, but go, except I wouldn't be obedient to the Lord. So do we have Tom on right now?
We do. We do.
I should be here. Hi, guys.
Hi. Well, hey, Tom, thank you. So I don't know if you heard the introduction, but I stated that, you know, this is the appropriate time. So share all of what you've been doing, your ministry life, bringing it to this point, your book on Antichrist. And every day we see more announcement that he is on his way, if not here, the false prophets in overdrive, the yearning to get rid of Christians is gone hypersonic along with missiles. So tell us, Tom, at this point, and I said if you and I had this talk a year ago, Bill Gates wouldn't have said what he said, that you won't be able to travel, buy, rent, sell, or trade except you get the vaccine. It sounds to me like he's the forerunner of the Antichrist Medical Association. The thing is that we're there. So take it away. And again, feel free. You don't need to give it back to me. Doug and I are both excited to hear you. But I will add in anything I can add in, but thank you for today.
Yeah, and later as we're going through this program, I do want to talk some more about your upcoming conference and the presentations that you and I both kind of overlap in our presentations in that conference, which is very important and actually connected to the arrival of Antichrist, but in a very unusual way. So, look, guys, I mean, we've been doing radio and television and stuff going all the way back to the original Q files. Q, whoever that happens to be, Q Anon, whoever that happens to be, is a weak pretender to the original Q, which was Steve Quayle all the way back in the shortwave radio days, talking about what was going to come, how it was going to develop, talking about things like transhumanism before people even knew what that phrase meant. So now all of a sudden here we are, and I don't believe that our voices have ever been more important than they are right now. And I'm not bragging when I say that. I'm not patting myself on the back or you either. But people worldwide now are asking, what's happening? And are we entering the last days? And these are statistical facts. The latest Pew Research polling showing that 80% of pastors who 2 years ago wouldn't spend 5 minutes considering what people like us were talking about, 80% of pastors now asking, are we entering into the biblical last days? 70% of the American public asking, is this biblical prophecy? One poll shows that even as many as 30% of agnostics and atheists who are now reading the Bible wondering if there might be something to all of this. Well, you guys know, we've been teaching history and Bible prophecy, well, I have for nearly 50 years. You guys probably longer than me. I know, Steve, I think you're older than I am.
I am, Tom. I'm older than you are.
Yeah, I had to throw that in. But I've had the privilege of knowing, sharing insights with some of the greatest, most respected authorities in Bible prophecy for a half century. And what all of us have known, including our Bible scholar prophecy friends, is that rebellion in the streets, lawlessness, chaos in the streets would play a role in marking the arrival of Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 through 4, let nobody deceive you any day, anyway. But that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. Daniel 8:23, and as the transgressors, and that's the Hebrew word pasha, which means to riot, to rebel, to revolt against authority. As the transgressors are come to the full, then a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, and he will seek to literally stand up against the prince of princes. So the answer to the hard questions that the whole world is suddenly desperately seeking explanations for is why the Hagman Report exists. It's why Steve Quayle was called by God to open the portal called the Q before anybody else had ever even thought about that. It's why I sanctioned the urgent, actually historic work. This book, Antichrist and the Final Solution, was not even on our production schedule. Two or three other books were, and I felt like 8-9 months ago, I felt like the Lord compelling me to set everything else aside and put this book into play, because it literally explains what's happening right now, but also the chronology of events, what comes next. And a little bit later, if we get a chance, Steve, we should even talk about your documentary film, Cascadia is the Big One, because I believe that all of these things are coalescing now. There is a whole concatenation of events that have been set in motion, and they're not going to slow down. The chaos in the streets, by the way, it may get tamped down for a minute, then it's going to come back. And with each surge, it's going to get even worse until finally the whole world is clamoring for a man, a peacemaker, somebody who can come along to calm the storm and provide answers to all of their questions, which ultimately, of course, is going to lead to only a short period of peace and prosperity, followed by the greatest tribulation the world has ever seen. Now, if I'm right about what I'm saying, and I'm convinced that I am, more so than I've ever been convinced of anything, then there's two very important individuals that are rising now, or will be very soon, on the world scene. One, of course, is the false prophet, who's going to help pave way for Antichrist, and the second is going to be the man of sin himself. Well, is this what is unfolding right now? Is that what we are the early viewers of? I believe so, and I think it's important for people to understand that for me, this all started with a supernatural experience that began over 40 years ago. Some people know this story, some don't, so I'm not going to get bogged down in the details, but I was a young convert, desperately hungry to be used by God, and one day I came home, long story short, I went to sleep. The next thing I know, I find myself standing somewhere before this spectacular pillar of light, and somehow I knew that I was before God, and I was saying something, and I didn't know why I was saying it. I kept saying, please, Lord, please don't let me forget. Please don't let me forget. But somehow I knew that God had said that I was not going to remember what I had been shown, and that it was time for me to go back now. Next thing I know, it's almost as if Gary Stearman has kicked me sideways out of his Cessna airplane, and I'm falling through the air. I can literally feel the wind moving around me, and then the strangest thing happens. I literally see the roof of my house go around me. I fall on my bed with a thud. I sit up and take in a deep breath, sitting there literally, probably in shock, when I hear weeping in the room. And I look over, and my beautiful young wife, Nita, is sitting up in the bed with her head buried in her hands, and she is sobbing. She's been crying. And I start saying, babe, what's the matter? What's going on? What's going on? And she collects herself, tells me she woke up in the middle of the night, and I was dead as a doornail. And she had literally spent, according to her, something like 15 minutes trying to revive me. I had no pulse. I had no heartbeat. I was not breathing. and she'd been pounding on my chest trying to do something like CPR. Anyway, long story short, I spent the next couple of weeks every day praying about what that could have possibly been about. My big question was, why would God have shown me something, then tell me it was time for me to go back, and I'm not going to remember? That just didn't make any sense to me at all, right? So I'm praying about it every day. Along that same time, I happen to be reading through the Bible for the first time in my life, and about 2 weeks after this event, I arrived at the 33rd chapter of the book of Job, when my eyes fell upon a passage, and I had that classic Rhema moment, where the Word of God went from ink on paper to suddenly being the living Word of God. When I read these words, Job 33:14-17, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceives it not, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions within them, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man," end quote. And I got to tell you, guys, the minute that I read that text, even my young convert brain totally got that God had mysteriously sealed information within me that at some point later in the future would be important, and at those moments, it would be quickened to me, and at that time, then I would understand exactly why. And from that day forward, and Steve, we spoke about some of these, so I won't go into the details, but I've been drawn into what the Greek New Testament calls ecstasis, a night vision, if you want to think of it that way, or supernatural dreams, in which things are revealed, which happen after the fact. Now, for people that may find that to be kind of weird, I know that, you know, you get new listeners all the time, and they might be, what is this guy talking about? In the Bible, it's very clear that God does seal knowledge, wisdom, revelation in the hearts of those that follow him, and that those concealed truths can be quickened. They can be made alive at the right moments as they're needed. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "When they deliver you up, take no thought how ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." Again, Proverbs 3:6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him," that's us doing our part, "and he will direct thy path," that's him doing his part. John 6:33 refers to the Holy Spirit as the one that quickens. Now, I'm not sure how these kind of experiences play out for other people, but several times in my life, and at times completely unexpected, always at night when I'm asleep, I've been jolted from bed by an extraordinary glimpse that I believe actually is taken from that original storyboard that God gave me those many years ago, and about which I begged him not to let me forget. One of these quickenings came to me in the middle of the night, and this is one that much of the world knows about now, and it involves how Doug and Steve on this program, on the Hagman Report, as well as other programs, I was able to very precisely predict the historic resignation of Pope Benedict XVI. Also wrote about it. There's even a page, by the way, in Petrus Romanus, The Final Pope Is Here, which was published at the end of 2010. Excuse me, at the end of 2011, in which I literally put the date of Pope Benedict's resignation a year in advance in that book on print. So I really went out onto a limb, and all I can tell you is I go to bed one night, the next thing I know, I'm in this ecstasis, which is not like a normal dream. In fact, it is more vivid, it's more real, if that makes any sense. than this three-dimensional matrix that we live in and run around in now. It's more vivid than any of that. In fact, when I come back from those things, I feel like I'm in a muted reality of some kind. But anyway, it was very quick. I go to bed. Next thing I know, I've got a bird's-eye view of St. Peter's Square and the Vatican, and I see these very dark clouds rising up over the Vatican, and I can hear something almost like a large diesel engine humming in the background. And then, just like that, I'm rattled from sleep. I sit up in bed, and somehow I know that Pope Benedict XVI is going to step down in April of 2012, citing health reasons as a cover for his abdication. So I came on this program, went on television, went on other radio programs, trying to rush the book Petrus Romanus by me and Chris Putnam out ahead of the prophesied event. So we're rushing it through editing, typesetting, all of that. The book comes out. It becomes an international bestseller. But here's the weird part. As the year, because I said he's going to resign in April 2012. Now, as the year 2012 comes and goes, and neither Pope Benedict nor the Vatican make any announcement that he had resigned, I didn't know what to think. Because on the one hand, this experience had never failed me before. And yet, this time, these sealed Job-like instructions mechanisms, however you want to describe that, either had not worked or I had been mistaken. And yet, here's the weird thing. As the months were passing by through 2012, somehow in my gut, I remained convinced that I had seen the vision correctly. I even emailed friends, and I would say, it's not over till it's over. And then at the same time, I'd say to myself, Tom, what are you talking about? You know, Benedict is still the Pope. What do you mean it ain't over till it's over? But then something happened that the world knows about now. February 28, 2013, the resignation of Benedict is announced by the Vatican, and immediately the Vatican publishes their own article, plus they give an interview with the New York Times that anybody can Google and read today that still has the 2013 date on it, in which they made the astonishing admission. Pope Benedict had secretly, officially resigned to select members of the Curia in April 2012, just as I had saw that he would. Now, that was immediately confirmed by Giovanni Maria Vian, the editor of the official Vatican newspaper, the El Observatorio Romano, who wrote that the Pope's decision had been taken many months ago, quote, after his trip to Mexico and Cuba ended in March of 2012. It was kept with a strict reserve that nobody could violate, meaning it was to remain top secret, was only supposed to be known to a handful of trusted Vatican cardinals until preparations for Benedict's housing and some other stuff could be made. Now, because no pope had resigned in nearly 600 years, and everybody had been saying that I was crazy, that popes don't resign, they die in office, and that had been true for 600 years, the revelation was astounding. Media everywhere went crazy. My office phone didn't stop ringing for weeks with top media from around the world, including Rome, wanting to interview me to ask who my insider at the Vatican was. Even fake news CNN begged me three different times, said they would come to Springfield, Missouri. They had a satellite studio there. They wanted to interview me to ask how I could have possibly known what nobody else did. Well, I declined, of course, going on CNN. The History Channel pleaded with me to participate in a special series, which I also declined. Chris Putnam went on it. But why am I talking about this? And it's definitely not so I can pat myself on the back. I'm raising the issue because the revelation of the resignation of the Pope and his replacement, Pope number 112, is about to get exponentially bigger. And it's connected to what we started out talking about on this program today, as well as to another personal event that transpired early in 2019 when this nighttime phenomenon happened to me again. And at that time, Steve, I could not have seen how that experience was connected to some other stuff we'll talk about here in the next minute or two, but also even to your Cascadia documentary film. Now, this quickening, if I can use that term, in April of 2019, this was the most vivid, the most terrifying of all of these ecstasis experiences yet. And I would want to beg the listeners, given that so far these visions have been extraordinarily accurate and stated publicly beforehand in media worldwide, and frankly, against all odds, like the Pope Benedict vision was, I would just pray that people at least consider what we talk about for the rest of today as vividly possible. Part of it is what was published in the Wormwood Prophecy involving this newest spectacular revelation, but it's more than that. On the Wormwood Prophecy, like usual, I'd gone to bed April 2019, not expecting anything unusual, when at around 2 a.m. I woke in that now familiar hyperdimensional reality. Suddenly I look up into the heavens above me. I see what appears to be a horned, fiery serpent, hundreds of feet wide. It's plunging past the stars toward Earth at a phenomenal speed. It's a terrifying monster that seems to be swimming across the sky, past the planets as it's descending towards the Earth, when suddenly my point of view abruptly shifts. And now I'm lifted up above the massive object, only to realize it's not a dragon after all, but rather it's a very large rock. And the way it's rolling through space, it's causing the light of the sun to glow over the contours of it, giving it only the appearance of something undulating through space like a living thing. Now, the next thing I know, I'm on a tall hill, on a mountain somewhere, surrounded by thousands of people, and we are running, terrified, and people are screaming in sheer terror for God to deliver us from the menace that's barreling through the sky towards the earth. Moments later, I hear this deafening sound, and it feels as if the earth is literally splitting apart, accompanied by the ground beneath our feet jerking violently. It knocks us all to the ground, where we're bouncing around against the rocks, getting cut on the rocks, desperately reaching for anything we can cling on to for stability. And somehow I knew that an asteroid had plunged into the Pacific Ocean, and its massive form was sending this whole sequence of tsunamis hundreds of feet into the air. I glance over my shoulder, and I can see this. This, by the way, was, for me, the most vivid, terrifying part of this entire vision, where I see this overwhelming wall of water, and it's coming up over the hillside behind us. And I immediately realize that there's no way in the world we're going to be able to escape this. It's going to be on us in seconds. Then it's as if two very large hands slip under my arms, lift me high up into the sky, where looking down, I watch in shock now as people everywhere, they're being swept away by these astonishing large waves, slamming into coastal terrains as far as I can see. And something else, and this is important because I'm not a scientist, and I don't even play one on TV, as the joke goes. I could only write down what I saw, but I was not able to explain any of it, not until later after watching Steve Quayle's documentary. But the atmosphere is suddenly being infused with these scorched particles of aerosol and vapor. There's a blistering culmination of moisture and extreme heat that's going up into the upper atmosphere, causing the Earth's atmosphere to combust into a whole series of high-velocity hurricanes, tornadoes, volcanoes, earthquakes seem to be literally going off like fireworks with what I now understand was likely some of those 11 deadliest volcanoes on Earth, Steve, from the Cascadia region, USA, that your new documentary chronicles. But I guess I'm as dumb as a brick. I didn't, even though in my mind I knew this asteroid had fell into the Pacific Ocean, I didn't for one moment put that together with anything else about the Cascadia subduction zone, because frankly, I'm really not educated on that until I got your documentary and watched it, and you could have knocked me over with a feather, because now all this activity being triggered like dominoes and releasing all this debris into the sky makes perfect sense. And then for some time, darkness covers the heavens worldwide as the entire landscape is pounded by these hurricanes and atmospheric annihilation circulating within the jet stream. And then sometime later, I don't know if this is a week, 2 weeks, I don't know what this is, but when the waters finally settles and the storms subside and the sky begins to grow clear, much of life on Earth is dead. Now, when I awoke, I nearly fell out of bed. I grabbed for a pen and paper to record what I had seen, but before I could, I was unexpectedly interrupted by what seemed to me to be an audible voice. I'm not saying it was. Could have just been in my head. But it seemed spoken to me, and it uttered a single word, and that was the word Apophis. Now, I knew that there was an ancient Egyptian god of chaos and the enemy of light known by that name, Apophis. I also knew that NASA had named an asteroid Apophis, but I didn't know anything about it. So I got out of bed, headed for my computer, began research on this particular space rock, not anticipating that a whole year-long investigation would ensue that ultimately would lead me to uncover evidence, much of which is in that book, of a cover-up by NASA, ESA, other space agencies involving the likelihood of Apophis impacting Earth in less than 9 years from now as much greater probability than what NASA is admitting today. 9 years from now, by the way, Friday the 13th of all dates, April 2029. And just so that listeners know, my conclusions in that book and since are shared by members of the government that I spoke with, science experts of name that we name in the book of the first rank, that have written peer-reviewed articles on this matter, astronomers and mathematicians, including one that has sent a warning letter to President Donald Trump begging him to take action on this case, and others, again, all cited and documented in the book, The Wormwood Prophecy. But here's where I was going with all this. People have been asking me, what do these two things have to do with each other? The resignation of Pope Benedict and the election of Pope Francis Romanus, that and Apophis as possibly fulfilling the Wormwood Prophecy. And until now, I've always said these moments, these ecstasis, these are like pieces of a larger puzzle that I haven't understood. In fact, I was recently asked by the host of one of, I think the largest Christian television network in the world, was asked off screen what my seeing the resignation of Pope Benedict in a year in advance had to do with the 2019 vision of Apophis. Why would God show me such random, seemingly unrelated things? And until now, my response has always been, I don't know. It's like I'm seeing pieces of a much larger picture that I don't comprehend. But then, recently, Steve, following the programs that I did with you, and I want people to go and go to the YouTube channel for Skywatch TV or our Roku channel and watch the two programs that I did with you, Steve, on Cascadia is the big one, because that'll answer a lot of questions for them. But it was following those revelations from your documentary and contemplation that suddenly one day all of this just popped into my mind. Maybe it was, again, the Holy Spirit quickening that moment, that I suddenly understood why these two events or how they're related, because both Wormwood, and if that's Apophis, as I suggest, and the judgment of Rome and its false prophet, who I project to be the Pope, both of those two events, the judgment of Rome and Wormwood, occur simultaneously in the middle of the Great Tribulation period. So in other words, the visions that I had received were not two separate things, but rather a bird's eye glimpse of two major parts of the end times soon to unfold bilaterally, as prophesied in the scripture, and as I predict are going to happen between now and 2029. I'd like to get your input on that, gentlemen, and then if you want me to, I can explain a bit more about how Rome and the Pope could soon be combined with the arrival of Wormwood.
You know, I just want to go back two things. As you were talking, I took some notes here. And first of all, I want to say this. When you were on this show, Tom Horn, and you were talking, you and Chris Putnam were talking about the resignation of the Pope, I thought you jumped the shark. I really did. I thought you completely jumped the shark. And then when it happened, I felt as an investigator, I was wondering, okay, what kind of line, who's Tom's source? I was looking for that human intelligence asset that was inside the venue of the Vatican. Because it was so left field like. Okay, I wanted to say that first. And then as the days, weeks, months, and years, and as we get to this point here, you come across, or Steve, at the first show, or at the beginning of the show, you said, you know, this show would not happen at any other time. It has to be today at this hour, at this moment, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. And so that's what you said at the start of the program. And then hang on a second. I'm getting somewhere with this. And this weekend and week, it took me the better part of the week to read Tom's book, Antichrist. The full title is Antichrist and the Final Solution, the Chronology of the Future Finally Unveiled. So when I was reading that, I got to a section. Have we entered the end times days of Noah? And then the next chapter, which is chapter 16, which has to do with Israel. So when I read about the end times days of Noah, that took me to Steve, your book, Genesis 6 Giants, and the other parts in this book have taken me to Xenogenesis, Steve, for other reasons. But again, Genesis 6 Giants, where it all started. I said all of that just to say right now, I truly believe that what we have right here, right now, as Tom just laid out for us, is really the stage has already been set. I mean, it's later than people think, which brings me to this point, and that's the point of the conference, Final Warning. Brace for impact. I feel that we are going to have an impact, and it's going to leave a mark, shall I say. Trying to be funny, but not really. Which is why, folks, everyone, I believe you would be well advised to go to gen6.com, sign up for Final Warning, and also video on demand. You also have the opportunity to listen to Steve answer questions that you send in the private briefings that are held every Friday night. So having said all of that, I believe that this day, this moment in time, that the people here, perhaps me excluded, are divinely appointed to give a message to the listeners and to the people watching this, that time is short. Well, we're out of time. Brace for impact. This is your final warning. And what lies ahead is going to perhaps be, not perhaps, is going to be one hell of a ride. And I mean that in the literal sense, one hell of a ride. Go ahead, Steve.
I think one of the most interesting things is the scripture declares, Doug, and obviously Tom and I came together, I believe, by the leading of the living God. The scripture says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And the hallmark of God's supernatural upon Tom's life, he's sharing with you those moments that God literally gave him the vision of the future. But Tom, you said an interesting thing. When I saw Jesus and he gave me a panorama of history, the same words that you spoke just moments ago, Jesus said, I'm only going to reveal these to you as they're shortly to come to pass. So people say, and I've never done drugs, quite candidly, so I'm not flashing back, but I have flashed forwards. I'm sure you're seeing that too. You know that what you're seeing and hearing from the Lord is something he showed you in the past, in the dream, in that moment of ecstasy, that ecstatic moment. And we're talking about the supernatural impartation of God's view of the future, God showing you the future and the context of you playing in it. And Doug, for such an appointed time as this, this message at this time with this importance could not have gone out without you. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why Tom and I are so adamant together and individually that you support Doug. Thank those of you who support him financially. Thank those of you who support him prayerfully. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, it says a threefold cord in the Proverbs is not easily broken. And Tom, what you're explaining and sharing is exactly because it's the time of the release. If I get anything in my spirit, I thought when I knew you had written this book, and I felt this is the time. And ladies and gentlemen, Tom is preceding me as a speaker on Saturday night, and he and I did not. I asked him to deal with the whole issue of the alien Catholic agenda, but where I'm going, I go beyond that and give you the details. And again, I couldn't know the details unless God gave it to me. And the details on how it's going to play out and how we're going to be seduced on a level that has never been seen in history. And Jesus said, if he didn't shorten the days for the elect's sake, that's us, there'd be no flesh left alive. And that deals with everything that Tom has written about transhumanism, about the mark of the beast. And Tom, before you go there, let me ask you this. Was it almost breathtaking to you to hear Bill Gates make the statement? And by the way, you were the one that God used to open my eyes on the gates of hell. But were you a little bit blown back by Gates saying you won't be able to buy, sell, trade, or travel without the vaccine? And yet the pulpits have been silent. Most prophecy teachers, quite candidly, they're too tied up in charts that went out of date when the, let's just say this, so many of the events that happened didn't happen. But weren't you kind of taken away? And then you got Kanye West, you know, basically coming out and saying, I'm not going to take the vaccine. It's the mark of the beast. I'm not saying the mark of the beast is a vaccine. But what I am saying is this. No pulpit could have had a bigger audience than Bill Gates. And isn't it interesting? Well, the silence in the pulpits and I call them the pulpiteers with Satan pulling the strings. The bottom line is that it was probably, I think that was a seminal moment, just like I believe this is a seminal moment. Answer that question, if you wouldn't mind, then take it right where you need to take it.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, it's every day right now is one mind-blowing event after another. And all of us, I think, recognize that whether or not the mark of the beast turns out to be a vaccine, that we're seeing everything's being put in motion right now in which civil liberties are being suppressed, where big government is telling you, you're going to have to do this or you're going to have to do that. And whether or not a vaccine becomes mandatory, it's going to become a de facto mandate. If you have to have a health certificate, as they're also talking about, before you can buy or sell. Right now what we are viewing is a supernaturalism that is pushing to bring through those dynamic gates, Steve, this last day's entity known as Antichrist. And don't forget that it is his false prophet, who I would call the Pope. It is his false prophet who is the one in the book of Revelation that actually causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and without which no man might buy or sell. And if you've noticed that Pope Francis has been agreeing with Gates lately, he's saying that this vaccine ought to be universal, it ought to be made at no cost to everybody, but it ought to be, there ought to be some requirements around it. So that's definitely where we're going. And let me do something here. I'll bet it's going to take you a minute to figure out where I'm going with this, because I want to say some things about this Pope who's going to advocate for this vaccine very shortly, by the way, before the end of the year, in ways that are going to sound very, very prophetic. But I also believe it's connected to the virtual conference and the idea of aliens. Let me see if I can put these two together. One quick thing I do want to say, Doug, I do pray that people listening to this program will do what Steve said a moment ago, pray for you and support your ministry financially. Pray for you because there are forces right now that want to shut you down, deplatform you, keep you from being able to earn a viable income, shut your mouth, get you to stop talking and having people on your program talking about information that is pertinent to fighting against whatever we would put the title on this, the globalist ideology that has been angry ever since the 2016 election, and they're doing everything they can foment to try to overthrow via a coup a sitting president, and they're not going to stop. They're not going to give up. And God help us if the insane platform of the puppet presidency Biden takes over here in 50 days from now, because then the forces that will shut you, me, Steve, and all of us down will no longer have any restraints against them. So I hope that people pray for you, pray against the darkness, pray that God continue to allow you, Doug, to do the kind of pertinent investigations that you do, and to have guests like Steve Quayle and me on your program and many others. And then I hope they also will give to you, because radio time, satellite time, it all costs money. And the workman, the scripture says, is worthy of their hire. And so I hope that people will. Just make donations. If you're out there, you're listening to this program, you're benefiting from this program, write a check right now, and go on, the Hagman Report website. I'll ask Doug to give that to us again, and make a donation. Buy his coffee line. Do whatever you can do, but do something to help keep this vital voice on the air, because there are very, very few of us that have been ahead of the curve like the Hagman Report has been. And I'm glad that the stats are showing now that, 80% of pastors are catching up with us, but you were there ahead of the rest, and I very much appreciate the opportunity that you have given us and others like us. And then I want you to give them your website. I know I'm being forward here at your program, not mine, but I'd love you to remind people your website, how they can make a donation to you. And then here's just an idea. Think about it. What if at some point we did a fundraiser where we have a telethon on the Hagman Report, and I know me and Steve would come on and others, where the guests can make donations too, but maybe give away product to people who will send donations to you. What do you think?
Wow. Tom, thank you. You're very kind. And certainly we can work something like that out, and that would be fabulous, because I do believe that the products that you and Steve have, the books, the DVDs, and everything is so important that people really folks, I know the Bible is, a lot of people will say, well, all I need is the Bible. But if you really want to, in my view anyway, really understand the times in which we live, the products that both Steve Quayle and Tom Horn have, Skywatch TV and stevequayle.com, of course, but thank you. Yes, indeed. And my website, of course, is hagmanreport.com, two N's on Hagman, hagmanreport.com, and unmarked bills. Non-sequential unmarked bills you can send in the mail to the address on that page. I'm kidding, of course, on that, but thank you so very much. All right. Again, thank you. HagmanReport.com. Go ahead, sir. Continue.
Yeah. Are we going to go to a break at the top of the hour?
Not unless you want to. No.
Okay. So here's the deal. Both Catholics and Protestant evangelicals see the current pope echoing a prophesied role in numerous things, including pushing socialism, the system that Antichrist is going to employ, and so on. But the fact is, several Catholic defenders of the faith, including the largest Catholic news agencies in the world, CAN and EWTN News, as well as Rome's leading theologians like Archbishop Carlo Vigano, have stated recently that Pope Francis is the man from the book of Revelation and Daniel, the false prophet. Vigano even writing letters to President Trump to warn him that Francis is leading the way for the children of darkness, right, that we see on the streets calling for this Marxist socialist uprising. But for mystic Catholics, it's a lot more than that. Many of them really do believe in the prophecy of the popes, which predicted 900 years ago that 112 popes, from the day St. Malachy had his divine vision in Rome and forward, would arrive, with the last one ruling over the Vatican when the church and the world enter the Great Tribulation period, according to that prophecy. Francis is seen as number 112 on that list. And the namesake that he took, Francis of Assisi, actually predicted that this final pope would be a deceiver, which makes him taking that name all the more astonishing. Now, follow me here. In our best-selling book, Petrus Romanus, we especially featured a retired professor of the Pontifical Biblical Institute, eminent Catholic theologian and Jesuit priest Malachi Martin, who had all this privileged information pertaining to secretive church world issues, including the Third Secret of Fatima. You know, that film just came out, and I think it's either in theaters or coming out on video now. But most people believe that the real truth behind the secret of Fatima has never been released. And Malachi Martin hinted that it actually spelled out parts of a plan to formally install the dreaded false prophet during what he called a final conclave. Now, his book, Windswept House, depicted how a pope would be secretly forced from office. Is that Pope Benedict? And replaced by a Jesuit, he said, who would help establish the final New World Order under Antichrist. Is that Pope Francis? He is a Jesuit. Recently, in a shocking interview, and I want people to Google this and go and read it for yourself, because it's mind-boggling that it ever even happened, but an interview called "Is Francis the Last Pope?" It was published by the two largest Catholic news agencies in the world, in which the personal secretary to Pope Benedict and the prefect of the papal household for Pope Francis, so in other words, Archbishop George Gonsween, who is their personal pastor, he's the guy that gives them communion, he was interviewed, and he was specifically asked about the prophecy of Malachi, better known as the prophecy of the popes. He was asked about that, he was asked about the retirement of Benedict, and he was also asked if Pope Francis himself believes he is the last pontiff from the prophecy of the popes. So go and look that up and read it. The interview begins by making a direct reference, by the way, to questions that me, you, Steve, and you, Doug, had raised on the Hagman Report regarding the dual lightning strikes atop St. Peter's Basilica on the evening of February 11, 2013, on the same day of Benedict's public resignation announcement. As soon as that happened, you guys invited me to come back on, saying, "Oh my gosh, Tom, how in the world could you possibly have known this, and what do you make of this weird phenomenon of lightning striking?" So it's important to establish, we talked about that before anybody else did. They can go back in the archives of your programs and listen to us talking about it. But Archbishop George Gonsween and others followed our interview. It was obvious that they had listened to that interview. And what was important about it, regarding the dual lightning strikes atop St. Peter's Basilica on the evening of February 11, 2013, the same day of Benedict's resignation announcement, we did this program about the inauguration of Francis and how, and actually go back and listen to it, because I did, and here's exactly what I said. I said, quote, "For a few adepts of history and secret orders, this sign from heaven was deliciously staged," end quote. Now, I had said that because the term inaugurate is from the Latin inauguratio, and it refers to this archaic ceremony by which the forerunners of the Vatican, the Roman augurs, the soothsayers, approved a king or a ruler, a pope, if you will. And they did it through lightning omens as being the proof, if you will, the voice of the Roman gods, sanctioning the approval of a pope or a king or whatever. As for Petrus Romanus, his inauguration was sealed, in other words, by the same omen that the ancient augurs would have used in determining the will of the gods for a king in that part of Rome, thunder and lightning, as the most important auspice and sign that Jupiter, the father of Apollo, was watching and that he was pleased. And the fact that it was two lightning strikes, follows the biblical axiom that God speaks once, yea, twice, when it comes to establishing his voice or his will or his commentary. So it turns out, though, that I was not alone in my ponderings. I wasn't. You weren't. Steve, you weren't. As the Catholic news agencies followed us by confirming in their article, is Francis the last pope? Let me quote a little piece of this. Listen to this. It's astonishing. Quote, many observers chose to interpret these lightning strikes as a divine reaction to the historical announcement of Pope Benedict's resignation made that very morning. Then the Catholic article goes on to say this, as his personal secretary, Archbishop Gonswein reminisced about how both he and Benedict only found out about the lightning strike after the event, and that the impression to them was one of a sign from above, a reaction, end quote. Gonswein then tells Bade, who actually conducted the interview, that when he had shown, when Gonswein showed Benedict images of the spectacular incident a few days later, the Pope asked him whether this was some kind of a digital montage, and Gonswein said that it was not, before adding, however, nature had spoken, he said, echoing what you and I had talked about on this program, and that I had actually even published online in 2013. But then, this astonishing report gets even more intriguing, because it adds, quote, during the interview, Paul Bade referenced the prophecy of the popes, according to which Pope Francis may be considered to be the last pope, to which Archbishop Gonswein admitted, quote, indeed, when looking at the prophecy and considering how there was always a sound reference to popes mentioned in its history, it gave me the shivers. And speaking from historical experience, one has to say, yes, this is a wake-up call, end quote. Now, I mean, imagine that. And I want people to go look this article up and read it for themselves. You'll have to read it several times and scratch your head and say, holy cow, really? Really? Given that both current popes and their closest advisors at the Vatican have considered whether Pope Francis is the last pope, Petrus Romanus, the guy that reigns over the Vatican during the Great Tribulation period, and that this reality gives them the shivers and is perceived to them as a wake-up call? I mean, is it any wonder that you have these conservative scholars within the Catholic Church that are taking an increasingly careful view of Pope Francis? Is the subsequent question of whether Pope Francis is the false prophet the reason that canon lawyers and theologians for the Vatican hosted a conference in Paris a while back to discuss how to depose a heretical pope? I mean, honestly, keep in mind, Catholic and Protestants have historically viewed the prophecy of the popes as only one of many omens predicting the role that Rome is going to play in the end times, and that ultimately the predicted destruction of the seven-hilled city of Rome, which, by the way, I believe could very well happen as Apophis rains down asteroid debris in 2029 in the middle of the Great Tribulation period. I'll explain that in a second. But it also identifies the Roman Catholic Church, therefore, as Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth, Revelation 17:5. Look, I'm not anti-Catholic. I don't want people to get mad at me. But this is a Catholic point of view. In other words, historians for the Catholic Church throughout hundreds of years have believed what I am saying is absolutely the truth, that the woman that rides the scarlet-colored colored beast is very clearly described by John as a city that sits on seven mountains that rules over the kings of the earth, Revelation 17:9, 17:8. And at the time that John wrote that, there was only one city on seven hills that ruled over the kings of the earth, and that was Rome. Now, and he put it in the present tense. He said the woman is, period. So he's writing to the seven churches throughout Asia, and he's letting them know the mystery of the harlot. Now, While Rome then was a military and political force, it eventually disappeared from history as such, but the seven-hilled city continued as a spiritual and religious force that continues to this very day to host the kings of the earth, which bow down and kiss the Pope's ring. So if one accepts the veracity of Malachy's vision, which many Catholics do, then the Roman Catholic Church is necessarily the woman who rides the beast. But how else might this connect to 2029, Apophis's wormwood, and the final pope? So the final lines of the prophecy of the pope also predict that Rome's going to be destroyed. It says, quote, in extreme persecution, the seat of the Holy Roman Church will be accompanied by Peter the Roman, who will feed the sheep through many tribulations, and when they are over, the city of seven hills will be destroyed, and a terrible and fearsome judge will judge his people, end quote. Now that seems to perfectly correspond with a lot of stuff. Revelation 17:8, which describes the destruction and you know, people standing afar off, aghast, looking at the smoke rising up of the burning city. The 700-year-old Jewish Zohar, one of the most important books in Jewish Kabbalistic magic, says that just before Messiah arrives, the kings of the earth will gather in Rome and suddenly be killed by, guess what, fiery objects falling down from the sky. Could that be why I saw the resignation of the Pope, all that whole picture, the coming of Petrus Romanus, and then I had a second revelation that I didn't even put together at first of Apophis falling down upon the earth? Could this be the breakup of Apophis Wormwood in the middle of the Great Tribulation, simultaneous to when the Bible says that the Great Harlot is going to be judged? I mentioned the third secret of Fatima. Catholic sources likewise describe it as saying that Rome is going to be destroyed by fiery heavenly objects, the part of it that hasn't been released. Even, by the way, there's a lot of historical stuff here. The Sibylline Oracles, Book 2, prophesied of end times Rome, and what sounds suspiciously like asteroid debris. Here's a quote. And then shall after these appear of men. And by the way, this also ties in, Steve, to the return of the giants, transhumanisms, and so on. As you know, the Sibylline Oracle prophesied quite a bit about the return of the giants. Back to my quote. And then shall after these appear of men the tenth race, when the earth-shakening lightener shall break the zeal for idols. I think that's talking about Rome. And shall shake the people of seven-hilled Rome. And riches great shall perish, burned by Vulcan's fiery flame. And then shall bloody science from heaven descend, end quote. Of course, Vulcan, mentioned here by Apollo's seer, is the god that Manly P. Hall said empowers the Freemason's hands, which the seething energies of Lucifer inflame. And it was Malachi Martin who said the Freemasons would be the super force behind bringing Rome under the control of Antichrist. But anyway, here's the thing. It wasn't only Malachi Martin that said the Vatican under the papacy of a Jesuit would become a machine of Antichrist, a final world order. Numerous other famous priests, theologians in the Catholic Church have taught the same over time. I've chronicled a lot of this and who some of those scholars were. But again, it's why I rushed to get the book Antichrist and the Final Solution out. And by the way, if people go to SkywatchTV.com or SkywatchTVStore.com, right now for a very limited time, we're giving away $900 in product when they order that book through our online store. Documentaries, films, other books, $900 in products free. It's a donation of $35 for the book Antichrist and the Final Solution. But Stephen Doug, there's another mysterious connection. And in this second hour, I'd love to get Steve talking about this, if he will. Connection with Rome and the Pope that's going to utterly bring the world to a standstill. And it has to do with Steve's upcoming Final Warning Conference, which is, if I've got the date right, Steve, it's October 16 through the 17, 2020. Can you talk about that?
Sure. And Tom, the deal is that, again, I didn't just choose that because I think it's later than I think or that most people call. Bracing for impact tied in too with the Dana Coverstone prophecies. But, you know, the scripture says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God, yea, speaks once, yea, not, if not once, twice. And I think that people have got to understand that because of the tenuous nature of the communists, and it is a full-scale communist attempted takeover underway in this country, no matter which way the vote goes for the president, it's going to be full-scale civil war. The persecution on the Christians is increasing. And my reason for wanting this and getting the different speakers was to give the financial overview, the state of the world overview. I'm dealing, and as I said, in the more supernatural, for instance, the bottomless pit, the abyss opening up. For instance, you know, in the book of Isaiah, when the word dead, shall the dead rise to praise thee, that word is the Rephaim. You're the one that brought everyone's attention to the Septuagint, where God says giants are coming. He's sending them. What is it, Isaiah 13:2 in the Septuagint?
Right.
Yep. And so the thing is that we can't cover everything. But ladies and gentlemen, here's what's important. If we can show you the events that have led to the actions that we're now experiencing and that we're going to be dealing with, i.e., and the most important thing is not only the earthquakes and the famine and the asteroids. And by the way, Tom, I'll just share it with you because we're on together and we're both hard to get a hold of each other. October 6th now, there's another near-Earth approaching object that NASA is truly worried about, okay? And I think people need to understand the last big one, it was an amateur astronomer. Not that NASA didn't see it, but the bottom line is they have such a hush-hush on them, just like Cascadia. So the point is that what final, final warning is this. And I've asked everybody, and you know you've said it, and we all will tell everybody at the very end of our presentations from a Christian standpoint, look, you can no longer just say, oh, prophecy's a bunch of bunk, it all happened, it's not going to happen again, blah, blah, blah. But you can't deny that the world is moving against everything that you could call individualism, freedom, liberty. Everything is moving against nation states into a conglomerate of the blob, just like the 1950s sci-fi thriller, The Blob. So I think final warning, brace for impact. When you're bracing for impact, you know something. You know that the systems that you were counting on, if you're an airplane or a helicopter, you know, or whatever, even in a slow motion car accident, you see it coming, that truck is sideways, semi-truck is sideways, and you're praying, oh Jesus, you know, and you're bracing, you're preparing yourself. Most people have stated they believe there's an impact, but they do not brace for impact. So that's why it was so critical. And again, I know this sounds like, you know, I'm not stuck on my repeat key, but Tom, just as those broadcasts, when you were on with Doug and I, we were talking about the whole situation with the Vatican. And by the way, most people don't know, twin lightning strikes are not only the symbols of the SS and Nazi SS, but they go into the thunderbolts of Zeus in Greek mythology. So the lightning, and Jesus himself said, you're not going to have to pay attention to some guy saying, hey, Jesus is out in the desert, go look for him there. Or, hey, I heard he's living in a tunnel here or a cave there. Uh-uh. As the lightning comes from the east to the west, that's how the second coming comes. But prior to that, the devil will mock, mimic, ridicule, and try and superimpose, I would call them preemptive lying signs and wonders to get people to believe, hey, this is the Antichrist. The Antichrist means in place of Jesus Christ. And had this Pope, by the way, I refer to this Pope, Tom, no matter when I write about him, I call him the entity. In my definition, the entity is what possesses him, not who he used to be in human form. That's not, again, I'm just telling you point blank. I'm hearing Catholics who listen to you, listen to me going, hey, we agree with you. And this is what people got to understand. People know what evil is. If it looks like evil, smells like evil, tastes like evil. But now look at what the COVID-19 has done too. COVID-19 is basically has been the ultimate false flag to manipulate the greatest amount of people and to take us into the, you know, I'd say the accelerated boiled frog syndrome. But now compliance, compliance, compliance. Isn't it interesting? Concurrent with COVID-19 and the outbreak is the persecution ramping up against Christians. Notice right. how they've used it to stop churches. Now I'll give it right back to you and stop meetings. Now I believe that the real church, those who follow and love Jesus and God will lead them just like he does all over the world. I believe the real church will go invisible. I believe those who are followers of Jesus will go into the underground churches. And so you can say, well, you're just hostile. No, I'm not hostile. I'm a pragmatist. And I'm not a, somebody said, you know, notice the conspiracy theory. Anything that's true is a conspiracy to they who invented the term, the CIA. So anything that's true is going to be automatically called a conspiracy. And now you have everybody in the mainstream press, the publications, etc. They're all trying to basically assassinate the truth. Algorithms are designed to denigrate, destroy, and to lock all logic out of arriving at the truth or a truthful conclusion. So we have the mind of the beast. We have the mask of the beast. We are going to have the mark of the beast. And then we're going to have the murder of the beast. And isn't it surprising to you, Tom Horn? I'm going to turn it right back over to you. When you wrote the book, Blood on the Altar, I remember what I said to you. Tom, this is going to be the most prophetic thing you've ever written. Remember that?
Yeah.
And so now we've got blood on the altar, and we've got the equivalent of Antiochus Epiphanes or Antiochus Epiphanes, who slaughtered. I mean, the joke on the Christians is that in the macabre mind of a Satanist, the Christians don't get that their blood is a sacrifice to Satan. In other words, the grand slaughter that they intend to kill of all the people of God who claim Jesus, that's their grand offering to Satan, the bloodlust prince of darkness. Go ahead and take it from there.
Hey, but before I do, can we also talk about who else is speaking alongside you and I at your conference, and where do people go to register?
Oh yeah, thank you. Get too wrapped up, and if you would, Eric, put up the graphic, but first of all, I've got Mike Adams speaking. I've got Dave Hodges. I've got Greg Hunter. Greg's got a huge following, interviewed some of the smartest people in the world, knows some of the smartest people in the world. And even those people that have been agnostic and atheistic are starting to see there is a grand evil design coming on this. We've got Lisa Haven, who's like a hypersonic lady, just talking about the issues that are important. See, remember, Tom, I asked everybody, I want you to say what you would say if you knew this were the last time. By the way, you probably know I went and, at your suggestion too, went to the Tetons and interviewed Bob McGinnis. We had an amazing time there, Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis. Yep. And so, and then Daniel Holdings. Daniel Holdings knocked it out of the ballpark. Daniel was the guy that wrote the book Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed. And has prepared my, in the past, my PowerPoints. And then Gerald Celente. Gerald Celente, I absolutely think, is one of the most concisely spoken men in the world. He is incredibly, and I would call this genius level sarcasm, but he has the Trends Forecast Journal, and the guy has a gift. He's gifted in being able to identify trends and what the outcome will be. And he scares the death out of mainstream TV because they try and contain him. And good night. You're not going to contain Gerald Celente. So we've got Thomas Horn. We've got Gerald Celente, Greg Hunter. We've got Dave Hodges, Mike Adams, Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, Lisa Haven. We've got Daniel Holdings and Brandon Smith. Brandon Smith writes altmarketnews.com. Very, very smart young man, talking, warning, deep thinking, trying to provoke people to understand cause and effect. And I don't believe these, well, I can tell you this, you and I both say this, but God may have otherwise, but we're not because of our age or anything, but we're running out of time because of our access to the people of God. And the Bible says that God will not do anything except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets, the testimony of Jesus being the spirit of prophecy. But again, you know, all we can do, Tom, is what God's tasked us to do. And I think there's one thing, and Doug, you've said this to me in the past. What you and Tom Horn share, this is not a flattery, this is glory to God, is a supernatural testimony of both the motivation and the information behind what you do. In essence, you're just hearing Tom saying the same thing. The Lord hid stuff from him until it was time. The Lord hid stuff from me until it's time. And in the years that you've been interviewing me, Doug, and talking with me, that's been the case. And you even said, and I think you said it too, concerning Tom's writings, Doug, you have been so forthright and honest saying, I think Quayle's goofy, until Quayle wasn't as goofy as a cartoon character. Or just like you said, you saw, how could he know that? You want to know a source. And this is what's interesting. In the Bible, 2 Kings talks about Elisha. God would make known the thoughts of the king's head upon his bed, causing the king to question his own people, who's betraying me? And his servant said, none, but there is a God in heaven who makes known the secret that the king thinks upon his bed. Same thing that Daniel, and the same thing that Nebuchadnezzar struggled with. That, ladies and gentlemen, to use in the intelligence community, in the, you know, all the different DIA, CIA, NSA, NRO, you know, up to wherever you go, the bottom line is, that's the secret. There is no digital communication coming from the best spy network in the world, but there is he who judges the hearts of all men that makes known to those are saying, be careful, here's what's going to happen. And Tom, I think that's one of the most amazing things coming out of today's broadcast and our corporate interview with Doug is the fact that there is a supernatural thumbprint of God. And I tell him this, every single Christian who yields to the Spirit of living God, this will sound like the old days of preaching in your world, but every single Christian who yields to the Spirit of God and understands that God is the potter, we're the clay, what's left on that clay when God is finished? His fingerprints are all over it. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, of course, in addition to everybody you mentioned, you too, Steve, are speaking. You and I are speaking almost like the left and right hand of a same subject matter. And did you say what the website is where people can go to register for this event?
I probably didn't. Gen6.com, GENSIX.com. It's on the screen right now, Gen6.com. And, Tom, what I've done, too, because of the compression I sense, and I'm not making this up, it's not melodramatic, but people who sign up for video on demand get private briefings that that Doug hosts on Friday night. I give the intel that I don't post or publicly announce on my main website, and that's my way of saying thank you to the people that have supported the conference for these years. You know, Tom, it was you and I that went together when I came to see you in Missouri. We went to Branson. And you, it was your idea, you know, that, hey, we should maybe think about doing this. And I had never done a conference. I had never been involved in a conference. And ladies and gentlemen, again, the fruit of all lives touched was because Tom basically said, hey, Steve. And then I got it instantly. At least I'm a fast learner. I may not know anything up until that point. But when I walked in to the mansion in Branson, I know this is the place. And you know what also got me about that? This scripture where Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And I thought, how cool is that? I think I said that to you, Tom. I said, how cool is that? We get to have a foretaste of the mansion in heaven here. And it was just that realization that prompted it. Obviously, the thing, times have changed. And I'm not just rambling on. I'm just telling you, step by step, ladies and gentlemen, each one of the books that Tom Horn publishes, each one of his authors, I have never seen, this is not flattery, this is just, I have never seen the intricate, if you will, weaving together of the themes and the information that God wants out. That's my attempt at weaving right there. The acceleration, but also the importance, if you're talking about information density. But remember, when we're talking about Jesus life, the things that Jesus showed me, shows Tom, shows you. And one of the things that I want people to understand, Tom, if there's anything, we're trying collectively and individually, obviously, to bring people into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ where he gives them a transformational encounter that changes their lives forever, as And I'm not just saying there's something better than salvation, but I'm saying an explosion of understanding how majestic, how wonderful, and how powerful our salvation truly is. Gen6.com, and we're down to, I think, almost, 30 days? Around 29 days, I think. So 29 days and counting, ladies and gentlemen. And again, I can assure you that this group of speakers will never be together. And I'm so concerned, Tom, for the time, because I know people think that just if, you know, Trump gets reelected, everything's hunky-dory, ain't going to be the case. Biden gets elected, Kamala Harris, President Harris. Are you kidding me? You know Kamala Deva, her name means the destroyer in Hindi, right?
Oh, I do. Yeah. She is here to fulfill, you know, and this is important because in the Bible, your name is connected to your destiny. And if you look at her Indian name, it's connected to three different gods of destruction. May God have mercy on us all. But and thank you, Steve, for saying that Defender Publishing and Skywatch TV, you know, we have over the years tried our best to work with the most cutting-edge people on the planet. Of course, I only do radio nowadays with you. Your conference is my last conference presentation, so people need to, if they want to hear it, they need to get it. They need to be there at Gen6.com. Not only me, but the other speakers are going to be there. Today, by the way, at Skywatch Television, SkywatchTV.com, we released something else that has to do with programs we've done in the past, and I won't get off subject matter here, but we just released the new documentary film Silent Cry, The Darker Side of Trafficking, which echoes back to programs I've done with you, Steve, and Doug, on everything from Pizzagate to other issues, Jeffrey Epstein, about the abduction and trafficking of children. And so we're giving away a bunch of stuff for that, too, if people want to go to SkywatchTV.com. I think today, episode one is on the top of the website, and they could watch that. And Steve, you'll love this. Every dollar of profit that comes in from the documentary film Silent Cry is going to support Whispering Ponies Ranch, which you helped us get started, where children who are rescued out of sex trafficking and other abusive situations can go at no cost whatsoever and go through rehabilitation there. And appreciate you so much in helping us, and Doug did too, in helping us get that started in the very beginning when we did remember that? It was your idea, Sponsor a Pony. But I don't want to get off track. I said a minute ago that there's another mysterious connection with Rome and the Pope that's going to utterly bring the world to a standstill, and it is what I will be talking about in your conference, Steve, and then you can talk about how your material is related to what I'm going to be talking about. But it has to do with this Final Warning Conference, October 16 through 17. I want to encourage people to go there for that. Everybody has seen and these curious reports, right, filling the news cycles lately involving UFOs. I mean, even Senator Marco Rubio, who chairs the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, told CBS News recently that he hopes the advanced UFOs that are being filmed in our atmosphere in recent years, doing things that are beyond our understanding of physics, he hopes that that's the Chinese or Russians or some other adversary that's perhaps made some sort of technological leap forward that allows him to conduct that kind of activity, because the alternative, he says, that these are alien craft or angelic, demonic, something else, other dimensional, he said that would bother him a lot more than thinking that this is something that the Russians or the Chinese have come up with. But Steve, you and I know this is not the Russians. This is not the Chinese. And on the heels of his testimony, you have New York Times cited Harry Reid, the former Nevada senator, who was actually instrumental in funding the original UFO program, saying that he believes that crashes of objects of unknown origin have occurred and that we've retrieved some of those materials from what he calls not of this world origins, and that these are now in our possession under top secret study. Well, I think we've known this for a while, but it's pretty amazing that you have a former member of Congress that's talking about it. So, of course, a lot of this goes back, me, Chris Putnam, Exo Vaticana, part of that project, Chris and I and my son Joe Artis, we wound up on the top of Mount Graham in Arizona, where we visited the large binocular telescope and the radio telescope and the Vatican's Advanced Technology Telescope, where the Jesuit father, who was on duty that day, and we got on film, told us that really the only thing the Vatican is using their technology telescope for on the top of that mountain today is the study of, observance of, exo-worlds on which they believe there is activity of extraterrestrial intelligence. So pretty astonishing stuff. Let's see, we've got maybe 20 minutes in this program. How does this tie in to the Vatican? Well, first of all, if you did read the book Exo Vaticana, you know that I was able to interview the top Vatican astronomer, Corrado Balducci. No, hang on. I'll tell you his name here in just a second. My memory's failing me.
Cosmolagno?
Yeah, thank you, Guy Cosmolagno. We did those interviews, and then after the fact, he denied a lot of what I had reported, both online and also in that book, on material that he, that was literally excerpted from his own book, in which he asserts that there are coming alien saviors. That these saviors have been referred to at one time in the Bible. He talks about heavenly beings coming here in the Psalms, Psalms 89, let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness, the assembly of the holy ones. But then he does some strange stuff in there. In that he actually starts using the story of the Nephilim from the Bible as an example of the kind of space saviors that man is going to soon look to for salvation. This is in his own book. He quotes John 10:16 that says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd." And he writes about that, quote, "Perhaps it's not so far-fetched to see the second person of the Trinity, the Word, who was present in the beginning, John 1:1, coming to lay down his life and take it up again, not only as the Son of Man, but also as a child of these other races." That's in his book. And so that prompted me to contact him again with the question, Brother Cosmolagno, do Vatican scholars actually believe that Jesus might have been the star child of an alien race? I mean, do you or other Jesuits secretly hold that the virgin birth was in reality what I might call an abduction scenario in which Mary was impregnated by E.T. and gave birth to a hybrid Jesus? He was angry that I asked him the question that way, but that's what's in his book. That's exactly what he said, and it would seem like impossible theology if it weren't for the fact that other high-ranking Vatican spokespersons that both you and I, Steve, are going to go into in your upcoming conference, those who routinely study from the star base, as the local Indians call it, on Mount Graham, that they've been saying the same thing in recent years. This includes Dr. Christopher Corbally, the vice president of the Vatican Observatory Research Group on Mount Graham until 2012 or 14, whatever it was, who has written in his own works that our image of God is going to have to change if evidence of alien life is confirmed by scientists, including, he says, the need to evolve from the concept of an anthropocentric God into a, quote, broader entity, end quote. Then you have the former Vatican Observatory Director, Father Jose Funes, who's gone as far or further, suggesting that alien life not only exists in the universe and is our brother, but it is, if discovered or confirmed, going to modify the faith of Christianity and certify the dominion of Rome. So that's pretty important, right? When the El Observatore Romano newspaper, which only publishes what the Vatican approves, when asking what he meant by all that, he said, quote, "How can we rule out that life may have developed elsewhere? Just as we consider earthly creatures a brother and sister, why should we not talk about extraterrestrial brothers? It would still be a part of creation, and believing in the existence of such is not contradictory to, quote, the Catholic doctrine." So you have all these statements, and a whole string of them, by the way, that continue even with Pope Francis saying that he would baptize aliens. And I think, let me just go out on another limb here, like I've done a few times on this program. I think something substantial of this is going to develop before the end of this year. And you're going to have the Vatican coming to the forefront, saying, we were here ahead of everybody else. We've developed the theology. It's been approved by the Pontifical Academy in Rome that allows our doctrine to accommodate the phenomenon that has suddenly brought the earth to a standstill. Don't forget, all the way through the 70s, all the way up until the 90s, until he died of a mysterious death, it was Monsignor Corrado Balducci, the exorcist theologian, member of the Vatican Curia, a friend of the Pope, and he was the guy that was going further than anybody, going on Italian national television numerous times to state that ETIs, extraterrestrial intelligence, was not only possible, but according to him, were already interacting with Earth, and that the Vatican leaders were aware of it. Remember that?
Yes, I
do. And so he goes out there, and he's speaking as this official demonologist for the church, saying that extraterrestrial encounters are not demonic, they're not due to psychological impairment, they're not a case of entity attachment, even saying they're not demons, but that they are to be studied carefully because it is something real that's interacting with humanity. And he even disclosed how the Vatican itself had been closely following this phenomenon and even compiling material evidence from Vatican emissaries around the world on the extraterrestrials and their mission. For example, at a forum concerning the enormous UFO flap in Mexico at that time, he said, quote, "I always wish to be the spokesman for these star peoples who are also part of God's glory, and I will continue to bring it to the attention of the Holy Mother Church," end quote. So whatever you make of his claims, he was a member of a special group of consultants to the Vatican. He was a public spokesperson for Rome on the matter of extraterrestrial life as well as a UFO and abduction phenomenon. And his assertions have never been contradicted by the Roman Catholic Church. And it was not until he went on a documentary made here in the United States of America, and where it was subtitled in English, in which he started talking about how the Roman Catholic Church was not only aware of these entities, but was interacting with them in preparation of a coming global event, that all of a sudden, oops, he got sick and died. And, of course, Malachi Martin, who we've talked about before on Art Bell, 1997, Art Bell asking him, you know, why is the Vatican on the top of Mount Graham? What are they doing up there? And his answer was, because they know what is approaching the earth, and it's going to be of importance in the coming years. And that, of course, ignited a firestorm. But the big question is this. If extraterrestrial life is something that Vatican officials have been considering for all this time, why in the last few years have they started talking about it so openly in what some people perceive as a kind of careful doctrinal unveiling? Pope Francis weighing in on aliens, saying that they are our brothers, he would baptize them. Is all of this a deliberate effort by church officials to warm up the laity to ET disclosures? Are official church publications on the subject matter an attempt to soften the blow, if you will, before disclosure arrives in order to help the faithful retain their orthodoxy in light of some kind of unprecedented forthcoming knowledge. Again, Guy Consolmagno, just a while back, he was interviewed by the Sunday Herald, and in that article he pointed out how his job includes reconciling not only the wildest reaches of science fiction, I'm quoting here, with the flint-eyed dogma of the Holy See, but that his latest mental meander is something about what he called the Jesus seed. And he describes this as a brain-warping theory which speculates that perhaps every planet that harbors intelligent, self-aware life may also have had a Christ walk across its seas, just as Jesus did here on Galilee. So it sounds kind of like a sanctified version of panspermia, doesn't it? Anyway, I know we're going to run out of time, but I'm telling you, we are moving toward a moment of disclosure. And Steve, why don't you talk a little bit about how you plan to address some of this information in your presentation upcoming here in a couple of weeks?
Well, first of all, Tom, you know, this is the most critical issue of our time, in my opinion, because the bottom line is it's going to be a deception that's going to be using technological fallen angel rebellious science to dazzle mankind, lying signs and wonders. And I was fortunate enough and to be given in great detail the Vatican's plan on how they're going to introduce it. Now, most people would admit that human cloning exists, but most people would not think that one of the most beloved popes in history, for instance, John Paul, could be reanimated to life. And ladies and gentlemen, I know this sounds really hard, but I will lay it out in such a way, Tom, I touched on it for your presentation that you guys had on your virtual conference that should have been, you know, held in real time and real place in Missouri, but couldn't be. But I'm going to be talking about the supernatural, and I'm also going to be talking about some of the things that people need to understand. Even hell, it says hell from beneath is moved at thy coming. That coming doesn't mean Jesus coming to hell. It means literally the fallen ones coming to earth, because the sheer presence of Satan and the angelic hordes on earth is going to have a multidimensional effect where the physical and spiritual world come into conflict, and it literally is going to not only open the gates of hell, but the abyss, the deep, is going to give up the dead. Most people think that's the resurrection of the dead, meaning human beings have drowned. That's talking about the Rapha, the Rephaim. And so, Tom, I'm going to be talking about the great abyss. I'm going to be talking about the portals that are now opening in some of the areas of the ocean that even exceed in depth. The Mariana Trench. I used to be a scuba diver. I used to be, you know, so gung-ho underwater. I was one of the first guys, believe it or not, when I was wild and crazy before Jesus got a hold of me to want to have the owners of a certain Playboy club in Jamaica consider putting in a underwater hotel. That's not because of that, the lure of that or the luredness of that. But the point is that now we've got entities that are being monitored by Russians and by the U.S. and Chinese still don't have the deep diving submersibles. But the UFOs that are going in and out of the portals beneath the sea are astonishing, because that gets into the Oannes, O-A-N-N-E-S, myths of antiquity, about literally the civilizations that live beneath the waves. And so what is titled, in my presentation, Things Which Are, Things Which Will Be, and Things Which Will Come, I'm going to take people into that. And also, by the way, I'll be presenting some really astonishing asteroid stuff, different than what I did from last time, and it all dovetails. And Tom, you and I both know, you did, I never knew you were doing your Antichrist, and I until I send you, hey, Tom, look what I just did. Everything we do, and I think God does that for a reason, because there's no cross-pollination to basically say, you know, in America, one man lies, another one swears, by the way, they're both Democrats, and, you know, and the rest of the Democratic Party says, you got that, and the rest of the Democratic Party says, yeah, that must be the truth. But what's interesting, and I find this so important, and Doug, you picked up on it, kudos, you picked up on the significance of this this broadcast today. It takes everything and it brings it to a hub, okay? We've had all these spokes, all these radials going out everything. But God now is saying he's tightening, if you will, the wheel. We're starting to get the big picture. It may have been the biggest circular jigsaw puzzle in the history of creation, but it's going to be the puzzle pieces. What I'm doing, and this just worked out perfect because what Tom has covered and laid the basement. By the way, Tom, I will say this. I believe what you did for the conference that, you know, is already done, and I've watched it, is the most important, most detailed, intricately anointed presentation I've ever seen you do. I can tell you what, the fingerprints of God were all over that. And you made me look bad, but no, I'm just kidding. The bottom line is it's so important that the dovetailing, and I mean that's a genuine compliment, Tom, the dovetailing is so important because look, ladies and gentlemen, if you're getting the final warnings, what more can Tom warn you about than what he's been writing about when we're dealing with the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the largest faith in the world accepting ET? And by the way, there's so many fallacies scripturally with the people that are claiming, well, our understanding of an anthropomorphic God needs to change. We didn't make God in our image. He made us in his image. And I seem to remember an Old Testament statement, behold, I am the Lord thy God and I change not. But you see, this is the deal. There's no solid anchor anymore in the understanding of those who fought for the faith, who delivered us the faith, who are faithful to God. We read about the disciples, we read about the prophets, we read about the godly kings of Israel as well as the ungodly. And now, too, you and I both are on the same page when we're warning people, look, the Antichrist temple is being built. And this is the other thing, Tom. Don't you think, and I want you to address this because you're the one writing about it in such detail, but don't you think it just almost like clockwork, like double locks in the key at the same time, like you have to set up nuclear weapons, you know? You have to, the keys have to go in with the same code at the same time to launch. But here you've got the situation with the Vatican making their announcements. We've got the situation now with it all coming together in the, quote, supernatural realm. Mankind can't solve his own problems. That's what we're being told. Lying signs and wonder. I mean, it's just astonishing to me that the keys now are in the locks. Let me make it even clearer, and I'll give it right to you. Ladies and gentlemen, so much of the stuff had been hidden in history, ancient history, too. And it took the appropriate time lock, just like a bank vault. The vault can only be open during certain hours. And today, I tell you this, I say it with an assurance that Doug identified, this is a time-vaulted presentation. Tom Horn's key is in, my key is in, and we're turning them together, and it's opening up. Go ahead, Tom, you can finish it out. We've got, I think, 15 minutes.
Yeah, so first, I'll say several things. First of all, on the upcoming conference, I would not want people to think that because you and I both are raising the issues of a coming ETI event and how that's going to play a role in great deception from the Vatican. People need to know that over the past 48 months, doctrine has been progressing through the Pontifical Academy in Rome. Father Giuseppe Zeleniti, it's based on his original paper. He's an Opus Dei level theologian for the University of the Holy Roman Cross, Cross in Rome University. And he explains how we could soon be evangelized. That's his term. During contact with spiritual aliens, as every believer in God is going to be put into contact with extraterrestrial civilization information. He says it's an extraordinary experience. It's going to be inclined to respect the alien and recognize the common origin of our different species, blah, 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 blah. It's actually an astonishing source of paper. Here's just one little quick quote, while Christ is the first and last word, the Alpha and Omega spoken to humanity, he is not necessarily the only word spoke to the universe. For the word spoke to us does not seem to exclude an equivalent word spoken to aliens. They, too, could have their own Logos event, whatever that event might have been. It does not have to be repeated a repeated death and resurrection. If we allow God more imagination than some religious thinkers seem to have had, for God is omnipotent, is not restricted to one form of language as a human. End quote. That's actually from Christopher Corbali, quoting some of the stuff being written by Father Giuseppe Tanzaniti, who is predicting, essentially, that very soon we're going to come into contact with information of a religious nature from an extraterrestrial source that is going to utterly force the change of the current Catholic or Christian understanding of the Godhead and salvation through Jesus Christ. And, quote, once the trustworthiness of the information has been verified, the believer is going to have to reconcile such new information with the truth that he or she already knows and believes on the basis of the revelation of the one and triune God. Conducting a re-reading of the gospel, including of the new data, end quote. So that goes on and on. So look, people need to register for your conference event. Major big things are coming, and they are going to require people to be ready, not to be taken off guard, astonished, because the earth is going to stand still. It's kind of like that movie Independence Day, right? Or even the older film, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Yep. A moment is coming. Catastrophic events are coming. Scary events are coming, and the Vatican is positioning itself to be the go-to personalities, and that's going to connect back to the false prophet, Rome, the destruction of the harlot on the seven-hilled city, and even the arrival of Apophis in 2029, in which, look, I don't set dates, but I'm just telling you I can only go on what I've been shown and what I believe. And I believe it's more likely than not 2029 is the middle of the tribulation period when these events roll out. Now, time's going to tell, right? Time's going to tell, but it's kind of like Doug said earlier in this show. When in 2010 and 11 on the Hagman Report, I predicted the resignation of Pope Benedict in April of 2012, and it turned out to be exactly as I had foresaw. Time's going to tell whether or not this is once again a moment in which I received information from God that turned out to be true. Now, in addition to everything else that's going on, you now have Donald Trump negotiating a Middle East peace deal with UAE and other Muslim countries. Don't forget that 1 year ago, on your program, Doug, and on other programs, I went on the air and I said there's something that's happening in the background right now. It involves this president and his faith community around him negotiating with the Arabs for a peace deal that should happen in 2020 sometime, that ultimately, though, is going to allow for changes to the authorities, putting it under Saudi Arabia or something, that have control over the Waqf, the Temple Mount, that ultimately is going to give rise to the building of the third temple, which is definitely connected to end times prophecy. I think you're seeing all of that happening right now, just as we predicted once again, before anybody else did, on the Hagman Report. And then finally, I want to bring this up, guys. Don't forget, all the way back in 2008, and then again in 2012, Steve and I, with our good friend Sue Bradley, she interviewed us, and she produced an investigative report. She was a journalist, a blogger. By the way, she's gone home to be with Jesus. She died like back in 2013. She had started work on what was going to be her one of her last articles, and it was titled "The Fourth Turning: The Protocols and the Gray Champion." Gray Champion simply meaning that a global leader would rise in her mind sometime around 2016. Donald Trump, maybe, who would be an older gentleman who would set in motion things that would ultimately give rise to the arrival of Antichrist. Just a couple of months before she died, Sue emailed me from her hospital room, actually, and said she was getting ready to expand her fourth turning work based on some of the Zenith 2016 material that I had written and that we talked about on this program. Unfortunately, like the passing of David Flynn, the world's never going to know what she was about to reveal because she passed away far too soon. But what we do know, based on her online article, was that this was based on the book published in 1997, The Fourth Turning, which describes itself as a work that turns history into prophecy. And it explains cycles of life, generational archetypes through the examination of Western historical paradigms over the last five centuries. Now, seriously, this was Professors William Strauss, Neil Howe, who surveyed five centuries of Western culture, and they determined this really astoundingly accurate, prescient forecast in which they saw a cascade of events that would ultimately lead to chaos and the fourth turning. And keep in mind, they made these predictions over 20 years ago, long before the September 11, 2001 attacks on America. And here's what they saw. If you read their book, The Fourth Turning, which I have several times now, based on cycles of history, here's what they said. They said they foresee an event coming. They described it as an airliner or a military response authorization for house-to-house searches. This airliner, they thought, might crash into important American architecture that would then give rise to impositions into personal American freedoms. The second thing that they saw was a malaise with the Centers for Disease Control announcing the spread of a new communicable virus, which would lead to quarantines, relocations, mandatory vaccines, and so on. And finally, they saw, as a result of the crashing of this airliner into these towers, followed by this disease outbreak that would come, they saw growing anarchy through the streets of America, ultimately leading, by the way, to the arrival of who they called the Gray Champion, this national leader who would put into motion events that would lead to basically what you and I would describe as Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast. But they saw all of this happening from around 10 years ago through now. As a matter of fact, here's what's interesting. They do all this, examination of political cultural history over a 500-year period of Anglo-American cultural nuance. And ultimately what they determined was that America would pass, they said, through the gates of its most dangerous period in American history, resulting in a crisis period, or what they call the fourth turning, which they said would begin sometime around the year 2025. And sometime around that period of time, this so-called Gray Champion, this American leader, this national leader, would rise, who would become the champion, an old guy. That's why he's called gray, like gray hair, right? He would arise as a leader, but ultimately his activity would give, put into motion a despot period in time in which Americans would experience the loss of civil liberties.
Very, very pertinent. Very, very. We're there. I mean, and get Tom, doesn't it surprise you that so few people can grasp the amount of liberties we're losing, liberties we've lost? And we just watched the assassination of pretty much the restaurant and hotel industry, the travel industry, the airline industry. And that goes back to that word I got 1992, I believe, 28 years ago, that the time would come when no trains would run, no planes would fly. No trucks would run, and God was going to bring this country to a complete standstill. And you just referred to that again, the day the earth stands still, and it's going to happen. But we're there now. And so we have had the assassination of the middle class, and we've been complicit in our own, I would say this, imprisonment by not rising up. And I'm talking specifically, vocally, standing up against these The horrors of Babylon in training, the little priests and priestesses of the satanic underworld that have taken all of our freedoms away. But does it not even surprise you, Tom, with as much prophetic words and teaching and books that have been written from guys in the military like Bob McGinnis and others that are everybody's telling everybody, yet still God's people are rolling over on it?
Yeah, we're the last ones. We're late to the dance, but I have thought for the longest time that in order to accomplish the rise of Antichrist and the final solution, it's been my position that it would take some kind of global trigger event, like the coronavirus pandemic, to bring about the rise of a socialist new world order and the loss of our personal freedoms. And I'm hoping that these new polls that show that 80% of pastors and 70% of Americans are now asking whether or not we're entering into a tribulation period, I'm hoping that that gives us an increasing audience that we then can step forward to provide answers for that are positive and not negative, that allow them to have faith and hope for the future, which even if that means laying down your life from the Christian worldview, that's faith and hope for the future. Look, the book is out now, Antichrist and the Final Solution, $900 in gifts. Go to SkyWatchTVStore.com or SkyWatchTV.com. The brand new documentary came out today, Silent Cry. It's on the top of SkyWatchTV.com. Go to the Q Files. Go to Steve Quayle's website. You absolutely do want to register for this upcoming event to continue receiving the kind of pertinent information you're going to need from the dozen or so top speakers at that event. And, Doug, thank you for having me back on your program. And I'm really serious about, I think, the need to do some kind of a fundraising event in which you bring, of course, me and Steve, but other people onto your program. I know that Defender Publishing would be happy to donate, new books, materials, movies, whatever, to do some kind of a fundraising event. It is very important that the Hagmann Report remain on the air, and I know that you, I don't know how much, I don't think I can talk about this. I think it's just up to you, and I don't know how much you have talked about this, but I know that you are under significant attack because they want to close you down. They want to shut your mouth. Depending on how the election comes out in, a few weeks from now, it could get a lot worse real fast. So I think the time to do something could be right away, and I just want you to know that I'm here to participate in that if I can.
Tom, I just want to say thank you very much. You know, we plan to be here until the end, until there is no more breath in me or in Eric, or until we're taken down and taken out. Steve's been a forerunner in this in terms of the cry in the wilderness saying, hey, look, this is happening. And so here we are. And so, Tom, I thank you for that. And certainly we'll talk and we'll get something together, I'm sure, because the people out there are thirsty. They're hungry for knowledge. You provide the knowledge. By the way, folks, if you haven't done so already, go shopping. Go to SkyWatchTVStore.com, SkyWatchTV.com. Just go there. The link is in the program description box, and go shopping. You can't beat the deal. Roughly $900 worth of merchandise. Look at the deals. And by the way, this book, okay, Antichrist and the Final Solution. I don't know what to say except I'm reading. This is like reading out of the newspaper. I mean, it's prophecy and news combined. So here's the trifecta right now. It's, or the Daily Double, perhaps. I'm not sure which, but go to SkyWatchTVStore.com. There it is. $35 donation, $940 value. It's right on your screen right there. Take advantage of this, as well as, and donate more too. I mean, look, this is a good cause. The other part of the Daily Double, of course, would be the final warning, the conference, where Steve and Tom Horn and others will be speaking. So, and the timing of this is so incredible, in my view, just as really a layperson in this, an investigator looking at all of this, the timing is, this could not have been planned. I think this is divinely inspired by God to have it at the moment. So again, SkywatchTVStore.com, Skywatch TV, as well as Final Warning, Brace for Impact. Here's the book of Tom Horn's, plus many, many others. And Steve, of course, the conference, which he has sacrificed much for. Steve, thank you. Tom, thank you. We'll be talking again. And I'm still blown away by that Pope. I mean, that just blows me away. Folks, you really had to go back and in fact, I might even bring that, interview out and, so people can listen to that, re-listen to that interview. Thank you both, gentlemen. It's been a great show. Steve, God bless you. Tom, thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
How about you, Doug? Thank you.
All right, folks, that'll do it. Wow, what a program, huh? Gotta go. Have a good night. HagmanStore.com for coffee. Good night.